And please turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul's second letter to Timothy chapter 3. And this morning we are going to look at 2 Timothy 3 and beginning in verse 14 on into chapter 4 and verse 5. Next Sunday, God willing, we will return to our sermon series on the book of Genesis in the morning service. But today we will commemorate the Reformation with a special sermon that is related to a Reformation topic, and that is the authority and sufficiency of Holy Scripture. And I want to look specifically at 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we will begin in verse 14. Before we hear God's word, let's join our hearts together once again in prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank you that you are our Redeemer in and through Jesus Christ, who loved us and who gave his life as a ransom for us to atone for our sins and reconcile us to you, in whom we have eternal life given to us as a free gift. Father, we thank you for the Holy Scriptures, which reveal to us the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus, the Scriptures which are inspired by you and therefore profitable for us, and through which you equip us for every good work. Father, this morning, as we hear the Scriptures read and preached, we ask that you would open our ears to hear, our eyes to see, and our hearts to believe and understand what Scripture teaches us about you and what duty you require of us, and make us doers of your word and not hearers only by your grace. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and beginning in verse 14, beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, let us hear the word of God. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. This is the word of God. On October 31st, 1517, Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg, Germany. And that event, together with other related events, started a movement known as the Protestant Reformation. The Protestant Reformation eventually led to the formation of various Protestant churches, including the Lutheran Church and the Anglican Church and the Presbyterian Church. In our day, as you well know, there are countless Protestant denominations and independent churches. But in the 16th century, that was not the case. There were, in fact, four main groups of Protestants in the 16th century: the Lutherans, the Reformed, the Anglicans, and the Anabaptists. Now, those four groups did not agree with each other on every point of doctrine, but they all agreed on one major point, and that is the doctrine of sola scriptura, which means Scripture alone. Sola scriptura, Scripture alone. The Protestants insisted that the Bible is the only source of divine special revelation. God reveals himself to us in special revelation in the Bible. The Bible is the only source of that divine special revelation. Divine special revelation is contained in Scripture alone, sola scriptura. God tells us what we are to believe concerning him and what duty he requires of us. That's divine revelation. But where is that revelation to be found? Well, according to Protestants, it is found in Scripture alone. But according to Rome, the Roman Catholic Church, it is found in two sources, not in one. The Roman Church insisted, and to this day insists, that special revelation is contained partly in Scripture and partly in another source that they call tradition. There are two sources of divine special revelation, not one, but two sources, Scripture and tradition. And so some of what we are to believe concerning God and what duty God requires of us is found in the Bible. Some of it is, but not all of it. The rest of it is found in oral tradition that has been handed down to us from the apostles from one generation to another. And so according to the Roman Catholic Church, not every doctrine that the church teaches must be found in the Bible, and in fact is not found in the Bible. There's another source of special revelation that reveals doctrine to us, and that's tradition, a second source of revelation, tradition. And according to Rome, not everything that God requires of us for salvation is also revealed in the Bible. Some of it is revealed in the Bible, but not all of it. Some of it is revealed in another source, a second source of revelation, and that is tradition. And so for the Roman Catholic Church, tradition is a second additional source of special revelation in addition to Holy Scripture. Now, the Protestants rejected that idea and claimed that Scripture is the only source, the sole source of special revelation, Scripture alone, sola scriptura. What we are to believe concerning God and what duty God requires of us is revealed to us by God in the form of special revelation, and that special revelation comes to us in Scripture alone. So Scripture contains all that's necessary for the worship of God. It contains all that's necessary for our salvation. And everything that the church teaches as doctrine, everything that the church teaches as doctrine and practices as worship, everything must be derived from the Holy Scriptures alone. So Scripture is not an incomplete source of special revelation that needs to be supplemented by another source. Now that's the Protestant doctrine of sola scriptura, Scripture alone. Now, in response to the Protestant movement, which started in the early 16th century, early 1500s, the Roman Catholic Church convoked a council in 1545 in order to deal with these Protestants. And that council is known as the Council of Trent. And at that council, the Roman Church explicitly rejected the doctrine of sola scriptura, Scripture alone, and instead affirmed tradition as a second source of special revelation in addition to Scripture. Now here's what the Council of Trent decreed. Special revelation is contained, quote, both in the Scriptures and in unwritten tradition. There it is. Unwritten traditions, which were received by the apostles either from the mouth of Christ or were dictated to them by the Holy Spirit, and that these traditions have come down to us, quote, transmitted, as it were, from hand to hand. Council of Trent also stated the following. It receives, quote, it receives, now listen to this, it receives and venerates with an equal affection of piety and reverence both the books of the Bible and also the unwritten traditions, as having been dictated either by Christ's own word of mouth or by the Holy Spirit and preserved in the Catholic Church by a continuous succession. There it is. So according to the Roman Catholic Church, throughout the history of the Church, God's word, God's special revelation, reaches every generation of the Church through two sources, not one. Two sources, not one. Scripture and tradition. And whatever special revelation that comes to the church through tradition is equal to the revelation that comes through Scripture. It is equal in authority, equally binding, because it is, after all, divine revelation. And it is to be received with reverence and piety because it is the Word of God. Scripture and tradition, then, are co-equal authorities in the Roman Church and supplementary sources of divine special revelation. Now, that's the official teaching of the Roman Catholic Church, and that is contrary to the Protestant doctrine of Scripture alone, sola scriptura. Now, we as Protestants, Reformed Protestants in particular, affirm that the Bible is the only source of God's special revelation that we have access to, and there is no other source. And moreover, it is a complete source of special revelation. And all that is necessary for the worship of God and all that is necessary for our salvation is contained in the Bible alone. Scripture is our only source of special revelation, and it's our highest authority, and it is the only infallible authority that we have. It is without errors, and it's incapable of making errors. And it is a sufficient source for doctrine and life. In other words, there's nothing missing in the Bible that needs to be supplied by some other source to tell us what we are to believe about God and to tell us what God wants us to do, to tell us what duty God requires of us. There's nothing missing. There's nothing omitted that has to be supplied from another source. Now, that doctrine, I think, is borne out very clearly in our text of Scripture this morning, in Paul's second letter to Timothy. In chapter 3, verse 14, Paul says to Timothy, his young protege in the faith, whom Paul put in Ephesus as pastor of the church of Ephesus, Paul says to him in 2 Timothy 3:14, "But as for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood, Timothy, ever since you were a child, you have been acquainted with the sacred writings." That's the Holy Scriptures. Ever since you were a child, Timothy, from your mother and your Jewish grandmother, you learned the Holy Scriptures, which, verse 15, are able to make you wise, Timothy, for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So all that is necessary for salvation is revealed in the Holy Scriptures. It's revealed in the pages of the Bible. Scripture is a sufficient source to make us wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. There's nothing missing in the Bible that's necessary for salvation that must be supplied by some other source. Now, Paul continues to say to Timothy in verse 16, 2 Timothy 3:16, "All Scripture is breathed out by God." And the Latin translation of that is Divinitas Inspiratus, which is where we get the word inspired, divinely inspired, inspired by God. All Scripture is inspired by God. It means here, more literally, breathed out by God. All Scripture is God-breathed. It is the product of the Creator Spirit of God. All Scripture is God-breathed, and because it is God-breathed, it is therefore profitable for doctrine, for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God, notice how Paul puts it here in verse 17, so that the man of God, including you, Timothy, may be complete. Perfect is actually a better translation. May be perfect, meaning lacking in nothing, complete, perfect, thoroughly equipped, Paul says, for every good work. The Bible, you see, is not a deficient, incomplete source for doctrine and for training in righteousness. It is not inadequate to equip you for every good work. It is a complete and sufficient source for doing that. The Bible is a complete and sufficient source for all doctrine, all Christian doctrine, and Christian living. It supplies the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And it is a complete and sufficient source not only for Christian doctrine, but for Christian discipline and for training in righteousness. The Bible on its own, the Bible alone, sola scriptura, without any supplementation, is able to make believers complete. It's able to make us perfect and thoroughly equip us for every good work. So it's not an insufficient source for the Christian faith or life that needs supplementation with another source. And since Scripture is sufficient for these things, Paul commends Scripture to Timothy. And he goes on in the next chapter to charge Timothy to preach the Scriptures. All Scripture is inspired by God. It is God-breathed. And therefore, Timothy, preach the word. In verse 1 of chapter 4, Paul says, I charge you, Timothy, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, I charge you, Timothy, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Now again, we see the sufficiency of Scripture. Timothy is to preach the Word because it is the source of sound doctrine. Verse 3, the time is coming, Paul said to him, when people will not endure sound doctrine. But they will turn away, verse 4, from listening to the truth and wandering off into myths. Notice that Paul equates the Word of God, which is the source of sound doctrine, with the truth. Because it is the Word of God, because it is God-breathed, it is true. It is altogether true, absolute truth, and absolutely reliable and trustworthy. It is the Word of God. It is the inerrant, infallible, absolutely authoritative Word of God with no authority over it. Paul says that people will turn away from the truth, which I am charging you to preach, the Word. The truth is what Timothy preaches when he preaches the Word. People will turn away from the truth and they will wander off into myths. They will turn away from the truth of the Word of God to something else. They will turn away from it to something else as if there were another source of truth, as if there were another source of sound doctrine, another source of special revelation. But there is no other source. Scripture and Scripture alone, sola scriptura, is the Word of God. And it is not incomplete. It's perfect, complete, final, and absolutely sufficient to supply everything that we need to make us wise for salvation through faith in Christ, to nurture us in sound doctrine, to train us in righteousness, and to thoroughly equip us for every good work. The Bible contains the will of God completely, and everything one must believe to be saved is sufficiently taught in the Bible. Scripture is perfect and complete in all respects, lacking in nothing. It is not deficient. Now, that's the doctrine of sola scriptura. Now, one objection that is raised to that doctrine is that, and the Roman Catholic Church raised this objection in the 16th century, and it's often brought up today, by defenders of the Roman viewpoint. One objection that is raised against that doctrine is that it is contrary to the teaching of Scripture itself. Sola Scriptura is contrary to Scripture. Scripture itself rejects the doctrine of sola scriptura, they say. Now, one verse that is often appealed to in that regard is 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Now listen to what the Apostle Paul says in 2 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 15. Listen to what Paul says here. Paul says, so then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions, listen, that you were taught by us, either by our spoken word or by our letter. There it is. Paul tells us that his teaching had been conveyed to the church by means of two sources: his spoken word on the one hand, and his written letter on the other. So special revelation from God reaches the church through the ministry of Paul, not by his written letters alone, not by Scripture alone, but also by his spoken word. In the ministry of Paul and in the ministry of the apostles more broadly, there were, they argued, two sources of divine revelation, not one. So the argument goes, this dual source of special revelation, Scripture on the one hand and oral tradition on the other, continues in every generation of the church after the apostles. And special revelation continues even after the apostles to come to the church through those two sources. Therefore, they conclude, Scripture itself rejects the doctrine of sola scriptura. Scripture itself rejects the doctrine of Scripture alone. Now, that argument may seem plausible, at least at first glance, but there is a problem with it. And let me say, first of all, that the Protestants never denied that Paul and the other apostles taught the church by their spoken words. Of course the apostles did. Of course they did. There's no question about that. That's a no-brainer. Paul taught the church both by his written letters and by his spoken word. Of course he did. Scripture is very clear on that. Nobody denies that. And it is accurate to say, it is fine to put it this way, that God's special revelation came to the church through two sources, the spoken words of the apostles on the one hand and their written words on the other. That's accurate. That's true. When Paul preached to the Ephesians, special revelation came from his mouth. When he wrote to the Ephesians, the words on the page in his letter to the Ephesians are the very words of God. Special revelation came to that church through two sources. So the word of God came to the church both through the spoken words of Paul and also the other apostles and through their written words as well. Again, that's a no-brainer. That's something nobody denies. Now, here's the problem with Rome's interpretation of 2 Thessalonians 2:15 and their use of that text and other related texts, similar texts, to support their viewpoint. Rome not only claims that special revelation came to the church through the apostles in two different forms, written and verbal, it claims that those two different forms contain two different revelations, two different and supplementary revelations. In other words, Rome claims that the apostles taught A, B, and C by letter, but they taught something else by word of mouth. They taught X, Y, and Z by the spoken word. And you can't find that in their letters. This only came orally to the churches. So there are not only, in Rome's interpretation and in Rome's view, not only two forms in which the same message was conveyed, not only two forms in which the same message was communicated, but there are two different messages altogether. And that interpretation of 2 Thessalonians 2:15 just does not hold up, because Paul is talking about the same message. He's talking about the gospel, as verse 14 makes clear, which he had communicated to that church both in his preaching, his spoken word, and also in his letters. It's the same message he's urging them to receive. It's the same message he conveyed to them in two different modes that he's impressing upon them and urging them to believe and to be faithful to. So the point here is that the Bible is not missing certain apostolic doctrines. It's not like the apostles taught some doctrines that never made it into the Bible, but they were out there floating around, orally communicated by them to the church, and they've only been orally handed down from generation to generation throughout the history of the church, but they were never written down in the apostles' letters, but only taught by the spoken word. If that were the case, the Bible is insufficient. The Bible would be incomplete. The Bible would not be a complete source of apostolic doctrine. There would be another source, a second source of apostolic doctrine. Now, as to what kind of doctrines Rome claims were taught by the apostles, what were the X, Y, and Z doctrines taught by the apostles that didn't make it into the Bible, and yet they're apostolic doctrines that have come down to us since the age of the apostles through oral traditions, what would one of those be? Well, one of those would be the doctrine of indulgences. Now, what was it that Martin Luther was objecting to when he nailed his 95 theses onto the door of the castle church in Wittenberg on October 31st, 1517? He wasn't, at that time, objecting to all indulgences, but the abuse of indulgences, and it's only later that he came to object to them altogether. But what on earth is an indulgence? Where's that in the Bible? Say to the Roman Catholic, where do you find that in the Bible? He doesn't have to find it in the Bible. I've got another source of divine revelation, special revelation from God. It doesn't have to be in the Bible to be true doctrine from God, come to us in the form of special revelation through a separate source, distinct. It doesn't have to be in there. It doesn't have to be written in order for it to be believed as Christian doctrine. It's not in the Bible. They recognize that it's not in the Bible, but it doesn't matter to them. They have another source. They do believe and do teach that the sale of indulgences by which your time in purgatory can either be completely eradicated or lessened, and this applies to your dead relatives, by the way, who are in purgatory, if you can afford to purchase our indulgences, you can really help out your dead relatives here. They don't claim that that's in the Bible, but they do claim that that is apostolic doctrine that came to us from the apostles through oral tradition. It's equal in authority to what is written in the Bible and must be received with equal reverence and piety to what is written in the Scriptures, because they claim it is revelation from God. Now, this is the sort of thing the Protestants rejected, and in claiming that Scripture and Scripture alone is the source of divine special revelation and contains everything that is necessary for salvation and everything that is necessary for the worship of God. Those are the sort of doctrines the Reformers rejected, because they were just man-made doctrines, human inventions, man-made doctrines. And if it's not found in Holy Scripture, then what authority authenticates it? If it's not in the Word of God written, which is a self-authenticating authority, the Bible bears witness to itself, and we receive the authority of Holy Scripture on the basis of its own authority, because it is the Word of God, and there is no higher authority than God Himself, then on what authority do we accept these other doctrines? Well, you accept them on the authority of the church. Surprise. On our authority, we're telling you that these are apostolic doctrines. There's a huge difference between the Roman Catholic Church and the Protestant Church when it comes to the basis of the authority of the Christian religion, the final authority of the Christian religion. For us, that final authority is the Bible itself and the Bible alone. And for Rome, it's not. It's the Bible and the church. You accept it because the church tells you to accept it. You accept it because the church tells you it's true. The church becomes a second self-authenticating authority in addition to the Holy Scriptures. It is built partly on the Word of God, then, that religion, and partly on the Word of man. That's the problem with it. That's why the Protestants rejected it, and that's why we reject it today.